Thought we might want to do just a small review of last week. We had the occasion to have a lot of people here. They were good people, had a great time. But there might be some of you that didn't have the opportunity to hear some of the foundations that we laid last week as far as fear and faith is concerned. So we'd like to take just a few moments and kind of review. Last Sunday we learned four spiritual principles concerning fear. Number one, disobedience removes you from the presence of the Lord. Disobedience removes you from the presence of the Lord. The fruit of being out of the presence of the Lord is fear. And of course, this came from Genesis, the third chapter, and time won't permit us to go back into that kind of detail, but if you'd like to make a note, look at Genesis, the third chapter, and read that, you will see that the fruit of being out of the presence of the Lord is fear. Fear is the basis for all of our problems. Fear is the basis of insecurity. In fact, the other principle that we learned, the fruit of fear is insecurity. We want to hide. If you read it, you'll find that to be the case. Timeless principle number four, the fruit of insecurity is selfishness, and selfishness is self-destructive. It'll ruin you because, and it's a thing that we all have to deal with. Janet touched on the fact that she had had fear, she overcame it, but still it tries to come back. The same thing, and of course it's saying the same thing here, and that is you can overcome fear, but it will be a continual process of overcoming fear because the devil's going to try to come in at a different way. But there's hope for us to be able to overcome it and live an overcoming life because of faith. And then we learn that God is bigger than any of your fears. Amen. Any fear that you might have, we serve a God that's bigger than that fear. Perhaps the best synonym for fear would be, for faith would be trust. Faith is to believe or to be persuaded of, to have confidence in, to trust in, to rely upon, to have entire dependence upon, with assurance. And so as we move from fear to faith, we want you to have a good understanding about what we're talking about, because we're going to continue. Today we're going to be talking about increasing our faith, and we want you to know that faith is to believe or to be persuaded of, to have confidence in, to trust in, to rely upon, to have entire dependence upon with assurance. We also found that the basic scripture for faith is found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that is, faith is something that is rock solid, full of confidence, overflowing with assurance. You can build you a life on faith in God. You can build your life on faith in God. You can have the confidence that it will happen. If you pray according to the will of God, according to the word of God, you can have confidence that it will happen. You can rest assured that it will happen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We live by faith and not by sight. And when we say that, it might be well to have some explanation there, and that is, simply because the circumstances that may be does not determine the outcome of the situation. I often say there's faith, there's facts, and there's fear. And the difference between faith and facts is the fact says that the doctor may tell me that I am sick And he may not give me a good report, but by faith, I can be healed of the Lord. See, now that's the difference between faith and facts. When you're talking about facts, you're talking about a scientific fact or basis. But you know what's interesting about scientific facts? They change over a period of time. I've lived long enough to know that what was supposed to be a fact 15, 20 years ago is not necessarily a fact today. But what I'm saying to you is faith doesn't change. It was the same then as it is today. And they can present what is supposed to be a fact, but that's not faith. So we live by faith and not by sight. Faith sees the answer. Faith sees the answer before the actual manifestation of the outcome. Faith sees the end results. It sees the final work. We're talking about faith now. And one thing I always encourage people to do, if they're involved in a situation, whether it's healing, whether it's a problem in relationships, whether it's finances, whatever the case may be, I encourage people to visualize what the solution is. I think that there's value in being able to see it with what we call our spiritual imagination. And that is see the end results. Even though the circumstances says this and we think, well, that's the final answer. That's not the final answer. God's the final answer. And it's by faith that we appropriate it. There's a difference between faith and hope. If you notice, if faith is now and hope is futuristic. But in that Hebrews 11:1, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope, I always like to think of hope in terms of the doorway to faith. Hope lets us be able to believe, to see something, but faith sees it done. It sees the end results. Hope is a confident expectancy of something good in the future. We have hope. We have an eternal hope of a confident expectancy that we're going to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we're waiting for futuristic. Faith replaced works in the Old Testament. Faith replaced works in the Old Testament. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In the Old Testament, people's lives were justified by their works, what they did. And they had certain rituals and certain rites that were required to do in order for them to be justified in the eyes of the Lord. In the New Testament, faith replaced all of that. So faith, it replaced these. When Jesus fulfilled the law, he did away with the necessity of having to work for our salvation. Now, when I say this, I always want to be careful here. It's true, faith is the basis for our salvation. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith, and that's our salvation. But at the same time, you're saved to do good works. So just keep a balance there, and don't get carried away. That we are saved. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Your works will not save you, but your good works will please God. So just keep a balance there. Like everything else in the scripture, there's a balance that follows. Your Christian life began with faith. Romans 10:9-10 talks about believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, one of the reasons that it's important to identify this with faith is that those same principles work all the way through as far as faith is concerned. And we're going to be talking about increasing your faith today. And actually, you're going to come to understand the significance of believing and the significance of saying. The significance of believing and the significance of saying. So, just so that you get an understanding there of, in fact, we're going to preach a complete message on the words of your mouth and how that plays into faith. And Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." So, believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth, it is the beginning of salvation and it's the beginning of faith. Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." All right, when they said that, of course, our Lord responded with, "You have faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted, planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. If you have faith." And of course, what our Lord was saying there was that if you have just a small amount of faith, you can see great miracles happen. You don't have to, it's not something big, but but there is something will happen. The mustard seed was the smallest seed known in Jesus' day. Nevertheless, Jesus said that if one has faith, he can move mountains or a mulberry tree. It's interesting that the disciples that were following Christ would make this request. You would think if they were there with him that they had all kinds of understanding of faith. But even then, in their situation, they needed help to be able to understand faith. But what we find as we study the scriptures, we find different, if I can use the term, levels of faith. The Bible says that when you were saved, that you were given a measure of faith. A measure of faith. And then when you hear the Lord talk, he talked about small faith, great faith. And he said, your faith will make you whole. So what we know from all this is that we have the ability to increase our faith as we go along. You have the ability to get stronger in your faith. You have the ability to know more. You have the ability. You don't have to stay just where you are today in your faith situation. Obviously, if the disciples said increase our faith, obviously there must be some of us here in this sanctuary today that we probably need to say the same thing. Lord, will you increase our faith? Because we don't feel adequate as far as our faith is concerned. So then he says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Now there is a key. That's a key scripture in the Word of God for us to be able to base our faith on. And that is, if you abide in the Lord, that's salvation. When you come to him, it's salvation. My words abide in you, and that's the spiritual growth that you're using as you take the Word of God in and you grow and you believe and you can grow. These are two important phrases in the scripture, abiding in Christ and his words abiding in you. And of course, his word is his will. If you ask anything concerning his will, it will be done. And let me just stop there for just a moment and talk about that for just a little bit. This is the reason that we encourage when you are praying, pray the Word of God. Now, pray the Word of God is when you, as you pray the Word of God, you know you're praying God's will. He said, if anything, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you ask anything you will, it will be done. So that way it keeps you from what the Bible says, praying amiss. Or praying for something selfish, or something just for me. But when you are praying, you pray God's will, and it will be done. So you can have the confidence of that. That's what you base your faith on. So, his word is his will. If you ask anything, it will be done. Then, of course, going to Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes. One person said, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the cassette. That's back when we had cassettes. I guess it'd be CDs now, huh? Whatever. But this is the reason we stress the importance of the Word. Your faith will increase as you read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life.
Amen.
Your life will get better.
Yes.
Your quality of life will get better.
Yes.
When you take God's Word and live by it to the best of your ability.
Amen.
You know what? It's just kind of simple. But yet it's so profound. And this is the reason that we stress the importance of getting God's Word down in your spirit. And when I talk about getting God's Word down in your spirit, I'm talking about you taking God's Word and what it says, you put it to application in your life. So hearing, your faith, your increase in your hearing. And when I use the term in your spirit, I'm talking about God's Word and acting on it. This is faith. The Colossians 3:16. Worship keeps your faith strong. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, here's that word again, richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There's something special about praise and worship. It's something that will minister to you. And as we were singing this morning, and we were singing that song and worshiping the Lord, and I really felt impressed to be able to sing it again, because I could sense that the Spirit of God was ministering to us. There's something about worship and thanksgiving and praise that ministers and brings joy, brings peace to our soul. It's absolutely marvelous. But here's the other part to that too. I mean, it brings good feelings. It's inspirational. But the other part of that is the fact that it is bringing more faith into your system. Because it says, singing, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. David used songs and psalms to encourage himself when he was in trouble. Now, I don't think there's any question about it, and I don't think there'd be any disagreement of the fact that when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed, when you're hurt, when you're down in the dumps, when you don't feel good, it's hard to have faith. Now, come on. Is that right? All right? Okay. Now, so one of the best ways to come up out of those situations is start singing and worshiping the Lord. And if you're like me, you don't care what you sound like, you just do it. Because God don't care what it sounds like, just do it. But you will notice yourself rising up out of, yes, yeah, rising up out of that situation. As you begin to rise up on that, then you can go to the Word of God and you can start quoting God. And the Bible says that the angels hearken unto the Word of the Lord. And you can start using God's Word. And you know what? You can start directing those angels. Here, go this way, go that way. I know I'm a little bit weird, but that's okay. Just pamper me. But you know what? God will do those things if you use His Word to be able to accomplish it. Scares me when those two start. So experiences strengthen your faith. Now this is a toughie, but it's true, and that is, when I go through a situation that is difficult for me to go through, it'll stretch my faith to come out of it.
Amen.
I got to stretch. I got to believe in the midst of it. In fact, you know what? That's when real faith comes into existence. When things are not going right, when you're disappointed, when you're hurt, when you feel upset, when you feel like you've been betrayed or whatever the case may be, that's when your faith is worth something to you. And that's when you grow in that faith, because if you will continue to stay in an attitude of faith in difficult situations, you will overcome that situation. And when you overcome it, you have grown in your faith as a result of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. See that, but that's faith. And faith is having that confidence even in the midst of that situation to continue to believe God. The level of your faith will be determined by your knowledge of the Word of God while applying it in your life.
Amen.
Also, remain thankful during your trials and tribulations. Not thankful for the trials and tribulations. Not there's a difference. Oh, let me say one more thing. I have to add when I start talking about Mr. Trump, God will never put sin or sickness on you.
Amen.
See, sometimes when you get into these areas, you want to be careful that we understand. God will not put sin or sickness on you. But you will have situations where you have to go through them. And out of those situations, God will take a negative situation and make it good if we'll apply His Word to it. Okay, I just wanted to be sure that we cleared up what might become an issue there. As you hear testimonies how God worked in other people's lives, it builds their faith and gives them confidence to believe God. So, you know, we shared the testimonies here today. But faith is involved in every aspect of the Christian walk. Without faith, the devil will destroy you.
Amen.
Without faith, the devil will destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8-9. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. This keeps the sermon dry. I mean cold. I mean, I don't know what it does. Oh, that's good. I wish you all had some. I'm moving along. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you changed kingdoms.
Yes.
You went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And when you made that transition, you became a mortal enemy of Satan or the devil. That's the reason so much of the time when a new believer accepts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, seems like everything goes wrong. Everything goes backwards. Ever been there? Done that? Well, I'm doing everything I can. Why is everything going wrong? Well, the devil fighting you. But faith appropriates authority in believers. Faith appropriates authority in believers. The best kept secret that the devil has is the fact that you have authority over him. As long as he can make you believe that you can't do anything about the situation, that he's bigger than you are, then you're beat. But when you learn and get to know the fact that you know your authority in Jesus Christ, you've just become a winner in the Lord. The moment you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you changed roles in the authority hierarchy. As a believer, you have authority over Satan and his kingdom with all of his principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. This authority to fight the devil was first given to Peter in Matthew 16:18-19. I'm going to read it just for your hearing. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you.
Yes.
Everybody say you.
You.
Okay, just so you got it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now let me just give you a little clue right here where we're going. And when Jesus gave Peter, told him that he could bind and loosen, he was giving him the authority to bind and loosen.
Yes.
Now stay with me. Then in the 18th chapter, 18th, 19th verse, Jesus extended this authority to all of his disciples. Matthew 18:18-19. You can study these when you get home. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now that was to the disciples. Then Mark, I know I'm using a lot of scripture, just stay with me. Mark, the 16th chapter and the 17th and the 18th verse. It was extended to all believers. And these signs shall follow those who believe. And the, yeah, raise your hand and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Every believer, didn't say preacher, pastor, Sunday school teacher, elder, deacon, trustee. It didn't say that. It said every believer. Are you a believer this morning? All right. Get this in your spirit this morning, that as a believer, that you have authority over the devil. That was one of the primary reasons that Jesus Christ came to this earth. And that was so that he could destroy the works of the devil. And when he gave his life on the cross, he gave it for you and for me, but also so that you and I could have the authority back again like Adam had in the beginning, where he says he would have dominion. He gave it back to us, and now we have that authority to take over the devil. But he don't want any of you to know it. He's supposed to keep it a secret. And as long as we don't believe, as long as we don't have faith, we can't operate. But that's the reason God gave you the ability to be able to have faith to take control of him. That's the way you control your life. That's the way you control your destiny. It's because you have faith in and you believe in and you confess it, and it will come to pass. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Done preached myself happy. But this is a joyful message.
Yes,
this is the word of God.
Yes. Yes.
Dealing with me. It's things that I can grab a hold of. It's things that I can control my life. I can't control a lot of other things, but I can control what happens to me because of my authority with the Word of God and what I believe.
Yes.
Let me say one other thing. Jesus has done everything he's going to do. He went to the cross. He went into the, gave his life, went into the pits of the earth, fought with the devil, came forth with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he says, I give you the keys.
Yes, yes.
I give you the keys.
Yes.
When we take those keys, then we control the devil. Now, if we step back and say, well, I don't know. I started to say something, but I won't. But Jesus gave you the power.
Yes.
I want you to notice a word that's repeated over and over again in all three of these scriptures. It's the word you. Jesus told you to do it. Whosoever you bind on earth. If you believe, then you do it. You bind, you loose. These are words of authority. You.
Amen.
Jesus has given it to you. If you're a believer. If you're a believer this morning. Binding and loosening is aligned with heaven's will. Now listen very carefully. One of the most important parts of the message. Binding and loosening is aligned with heaven's will. I'm told by those who know Greek, and I don't know many Greeks, that a careful reading of the Greek tense, whatever that is, requires that whosoever should read like this: whosoever or whatsoever you bind on earth is that which is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is that which is already loosed in heaven. That's the way the people in Old Greek say it's supposed to be. And as I read that, you know what? It makes sense for this reason. You are simply exercising your faith and authority by imparting on earth what has already been done in heaven, or whatever already exists in heaven. You are bringing a little bit of heaven down here on earth and putting it on the situation and applying it.
Amen.
Now let me give you another thought. Is this what Jesus was talking about when he was teaching them to pray? And he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
Yes.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yes.
I think so too. You see, you are praying consistent with what Jesus has already taught us how to pray, and that is believing that God, what God would have us to do here on earth has already been done in heaven, and we are aligning ourselves with what's in heaven. We're appropriating it by faith and calling it into being, and folks, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Because of the faith in God. Your authority as a believer. One of the best kept secrets of this day and time is your authority as a believer. If no one ever knows about that authority, they would never use it. But if they should know about it, then they can become a radical, revolutionary, dangerous Christian. We're going to turn them loose. If there's one page or one phrase or one part of the Bible that I'm sure that the devil would like to tear out, it would be that one where it's talking about the believer's authority. Because as long as nobody knows about it, they can't exercise it. But folks, you sitting here this morning, by a divine appointment from God, not a one of you can leave here and say that you don't know about the believer's authority.
Amen.
Amen. And as a result of that believer's authority, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can touch people and believe with them. You can call those things that are not as though they were. And that's another message within itself we're going to be preaching. But you can. You can see miracles happen. It's one thing. Yes, we are governed by certain laws of gravity and physical laws and that type. Yes, we're governed by that. But I'll tell you one thing that supersedes all other laws, and that's the laws of God and the laws of faith that will supersede everything else.
Amen.
And that is,
amen,
you have the authority to lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And that's what we're preaching here this morning.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.